In the book of Genesis, we hear the story of Adam and Eve, who were created by God and given the gift of life and the gift of freedom. But God had put a limit upon their freedom. He said, you could do this, but you can't do this. You can't take the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. And the taking of that fruit itself was not a big deal, but the fact that God had said not to do it made it a big deal. It was an act of disobedience to the law of the Lord, inspired by the spirit of evil. That was the first sin, what we call the original sin of Adam and Eve. And from then on, it's like a negative story begins to unfold in humanity. We hear the story of the sin of Cain killing his brother Abel. And then as you read the rest of the Old Testament, you start to see a real negative story unfolding. It's almost as if it's a story of the consequence of that sin. All kinds of stories about unjust violence and adultery and superstition and lying and stealing and corruption. And it's as if humanity has almost evolved into a total disaster. And the situation is so negative. But you know, if you look at world history, even apart from the Bible, you see the same thing. You see all kinds of evil that seems to be conspiring to oppress humanity totally, to make the story of humanity a story that is so negative, that somehow humanity has failed and there's not a point of light anywhere. Even when you put on the news, you see so many stories that are almost like a repeat of what we heard in the Old Testament about the reality of sin, and that it seems to be going on and on. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says that behind all of the kinds of evils in the world is the reality of sin. That sin is a rejection of God by humanity, and it's really no good. And when we think about this, it's really discouraging. It's almost as if that the sin of Adam and Eve has ruined everything for all of history. It's so negative. But at the same time, in the Old Testament, that this story of sin, this negative experience for humanity is unfolding, there's another story that is unfolding, but not many people can see it. Only the prophets can see it, and the holy men and women can see it as well. And it's the same thing right now. People who are devoted to the Lord can perceive that there's another story going on. Not only the story of sin, but another one. And this other one has nothing to do with sin. It has to do with something else. And it reaches a high point in the person of Saint Joseph. Now, Saint Joseph was a carpenter. He was a tough guy, and he wanted to do the will of God in his life. At some point, he discovers that his wife-to-be, Mary, is pregnant, and he doesn't understand, and he wants to do away with her, and God sends an angel to him who tells him to keep Mary as his wife and not to be afraid, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, that she's going to bear a son and name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So the name Jesus literally means God saves. And the mission of Christ is to save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus Christ is all about. In other words, something new is happening. If you look at that negative story that is weaved throughout the Old Testament and is present in humanity, the history of human beings, and is on the news today, it's a story of human beings being oppressed by their sins. And we need a Savior. And Jesus comes to save his people from their sins. There's a new story. And it was prepared by God throughout the Old Testament. It was another story that was going along, almost in a hidden way, that reached a high point in the person of Saint Joseph and would culminate in Jesus Christ the Lord. And this story is real. It's right before us. It's present in the person of Christ. One of the servants of our Lord Jesus, Saint Paul the Apostle, himself had for a long time didn't follow Christ and was living in all kinds of sin and didn't seem to really care about that, and he even described himself as the worst sinner of all, but that Jesus had come to save him. And when he converts to Christ, he becomes an apostle of the Lord Jesus, and he realizes that his mission of leading people to Christ is a mission of leading people to the obedience of faith. Now think about the sin of Adam and Eve and all of the sins down to the ages. Underneath all of that sin is the inspiration of a spirit of disobedience to the law of the Lord. And St. Paul is working against that, because that spirit of disobedience created this negative story of sin after sin after sin, of despair. And there's a new story of grace that goes in the total opposite direction. It's the spirit of obedience to the law of God. St. Paul calls it the obedience of faith. This is the new story of grace and truth, a new story of redemption. It's real. It really is. And right before us, we have two stories that are unfolding. And the question is, which one are we going to live in? Because we could live either in the story of sin or the story of grace. And maybe we've lived in the story of sin for a long time. Well, we should move to the story of grace. That story of grace and redemption begins at our baptism, when our life story is brought into communion with eternity, with the Most Holy Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this new story, in a way, it's renewed in us in the sacrament of reconciliation and confession. And if we've ever fallen away from the story of grace and we're caught up in the story of sin, we can get back. We can get back to that story of grace and truth in Jesus. You see, we have to make this choice again and again to live in the story of grace, because the story of sin is real and it has real life consequences. Sin wounds people's souls. It wounds their relationships, their marriages, their families. It wounds all of their relationships and can kind of really damage their priorities and wound their relationship to themselves. People can end up having such a negative view of themselves, and it's because of their sins. It's not because of what they hear from other people. It's because of sin. And we don't need this. We really don't need this in our life. We should live in the story of grace and truth. I often think about something like a war. When a war erupts somewhere on the earth, to me, it's a sign of sin. It's a sign of the total breakdown of relationships, beginning with that relationship to God. And many people today are living in this negative story of the spirit of disobedience to the law of the Lord. But that story of grace and truth and redemption in Christ is there for you. It's right there for you, and it's given to you by Jesus. That's his gift to you at Christmas. And he's offering to you a new story for your life that is infinitely better than the story of sin. You don't have to live in the story of sin anymore. There's a much better story there for you, and it's real. It's not just a story, it's reality. It's a reality of communion with the Most Holy Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When we pray, when we go to the Eucharist, when we trust in God, we're living in that story of grace and truth. And you know, the thing is that every one of us has some kind of suffering in life. Life's journey is plagued by all manner of sufferings, little ones or big ones, all kinds of crosses. And we can bear those crosses either while living in a story of sin, which is so negative, or in the story of grace, which is a source of happiness, which is actually positive, which is pointing us towards eternity. The old Christmas hymns understood this reality that in Christ a new story has begun and is available for us to live in. For example, that Christmas song, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," there's that line that proclaims that the birth of Jesus has a great joy, which is due to the fact that God and sinners are reconciled. You see, that old story of sin has been defeated by this new story of reconciliation in Christ. The song, "O Holy Night," has a line that describes the world as long having laid in sin and error. And then Christ comes and changes that. It's like that history of sin and error, which was for the world but also could be in our own life story, is no longer necessary to defeat us. There's something new for us, and that's Jesus, our communion with Him. The Christmas song, God Rest You, Merry Gentlemen, proclaims that the birth of Christ frees us from Satan's power. And Satan's power was the spirit of disobedience to the law of the Lord. So Christ moves us to the spirit of obedience to the law of God, which is very good for us. And that wonderful and peaceful Christmas song, Silent Night, proclaims that the birth of Christ is the dawn of redeeming grace. In other words, He will save His people from their sins. He can write and will write a new story in the lives of His people. And so, brothers and sisters, we want to be a people of Christmas, a people who live in the communion of the Christ child, His family, His Mother Mary and Saint Joseph, the angels, the Most Holy Trinity. May we choose again to live by the new story of grace and truth in Jesus Christ our Lord. This story is real and it's for you. All you have to do is to accept it, is to take the hand of the Christ child and say, yes, Lord, I believe. Lead me. Be my Lord and Savior. And follow His will and keep His word. May we choose to live in this new story of redemption. In this way, we will experience each day and ever more fully the true peace of Christmas. God bless you.